Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And 1 Kings chapter 3 as well. Ecclesiastes 1. And thank you folks for coming. I asked Brother Benji to give me a tip, and he says, just don't play in the traffic, something to that effect. So, that's
a good tip.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good tip. So anyways, yeah. So I appreciate that. What was it that you said? I think it was something to that effect, right? Don't play
pretty
the traffic.
Much, yeah.
Pretty much. I'm so I'm so glad to have my grandson is here with my great grandson. Royce, it's good to see you, son. It's been a while. And yesterday was a real blessing. Let me just share something quickly. one of my grandsons got married. I warned him, I said, once you say you do, you're done, but anyways he went ahead with it. But he married a great girl. It was an amazing event. And what my grandson Matthew said to me, he said, Grandpa, this is the best wedding I've ever been to. What I do know is a fact that a lot of people had drenched that wedding in a lot of prayer. Amen. And prayer has such a huge effect. And we should not really take that for granted. Pray for this reverb. There are thousands of young people that go. Amen. Lives are changed for salvation or rededications, and please support this. Support everything in your church, amen. And support each other in prayer.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, I do ask you now to help me to deliver your word to your people. And I thank you, Father, that there are people here that have a willingness to hear your word. And Father, we praise you today. Because if there's anything good in us, it's because of you. Mm-hmm. And so I pray now that you will help us all in my delivery and in our reception of the Word of God. Please help me to just not only preach your Word in spirit and in truth, but Father, help me to do it in your stead,
yes,
to your glory. And thank you for your benefits, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you see there in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15 rather, Ecclesiastes 1:15, it says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. And that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Let me ask you a question, folks, just a rhetorical question. Do you think that if the Palestinians and the Israelis, if they would look for an answer to God collectively, you think that they'd be looking to kill each other?
No.
There's a lot of crooked ways in people's lives that they don't even realize it. I can identify with that, right? And that's why I need to get the book. You know how people say, hey, straighten out. Well, you can't straighten out if you don't know what God wants you to straighten out with.
That's right.
Amen. God, look, we cannot straighten out. It's crooked. We can't straighten out, but God will. He's not hand-tied. And there's an honest observation that you make when you read through Solomon's material. I mean, he is an anointed man of God to write what he wrote, but a lot of that stuff is after the fact. And this is probably one of the highlights in Solomon's life. I always, every time I read through this, it doesn't matter the times I have read it through, I always get that, I get that inspiration in my soul. In 1 Kings chapter 3, and Solomon here, this chapter, is begging God. Now the responsibility of the entire kingdom of God is going upon the shoulders of Solomon. All right, so for the sake of time, let's pick it up right there in verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And the petition was specific. He said, God, this nation is too big. This is more than I can handle. You've given me this responsibility, and I don't know, I don't even know how to start. But there's a part there that says that Solomon did love the Lord, and he was walking in the ways of the Lord at that moment. And so he really blesses the heart of God, because he didn't ask anything for himself. Look at this in verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Amen. Amen. Now, here's the advantage that you and I have. I don't need to dream this. I've got it here written out for me. I've got the entire experience laid out for me. How many of you have ever found yourself in a situation where you're kind of stuck? It's kind of a crisis. Obviously, he was totally intimidated by the responsibility laid before him. And he says, man, I need God to help me out here. I don't even know where to start. But here's what the beauty of it. It was an unselfish prayer. He figured, man, if I'm going to co-labor with you, God, you've got to give me the equipment with which to do this and get this job done. If you're a dad, you need God. If you're a husband, you need God. If you're a paper boy, you need God. If you're a wife, if you're a mother, no matter what role you're called to play out in life, you need the Lord with wisdom, and you got to ask for it. It's not going to come just because you desire it. And Solomon did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like you're stuck somewhere in a crisis? That was a crisis, man. I got all this. I'm going to be the king of Israel. There's millions of these people. How do I deal with that? There was a humility about him. He didn't take for granted, well, God called me. I guess he's going to equip me. He said, man, I better beg for this stuff. And God gave it to him. I think that was really one of the highlights in Solomon's life. He didn't ask anything for himself. And because he didn't ask anything for himself, he got above and beyond that. You know why? Because Solomon was already happy where he was. He just needed God to help him. You know how people are always complaining? They want more, they want this, they want the other. Solomon, I mean, I guess he was pretty well-to-do being the son of a king. But have you ever noticed that people are addicted to wanting more and more and more? You know what hoarders, you know what a hoarder is?
Yes.
Somebody that keeps accumulating and accumulating, and then they don't know how to get rid of it. And they want more, and they want more, and they want more. Give it a break. If I got God, I got more than I deserve, you know. And I've got a lot more than that, right? I have more than Jesus had in his day. Mm-hmm. He didn't even have a place to lay down his head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I tell you, sometimes God will put you in a position where you're going to have to humble yourself, man. If you think that you're going to get ahead, you need God, bro. Amen. You need God. I've got a granddaughter that calls me bro all the time. I talk to her dad about that. Anyways. to no avail. I said goodbye. He says, goodbye, bro. Okay. What was the composition of Solomon? Flesh? Do you have flesh? How many of you have flesh? That's good. I'm glad
you
are.
You know?
You got blood?
Yeah.
And you've got bones?
Yes.
We got souls.
Some of our bones are creaking, but we won't go into that. Solomon was no better than you. He's no different than us. And he had because he asked. And God gave him because he didn't ask amiss. He wanted to co-labor with God. And he blessed the heart of God big time. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He had to humble himself. He's not like the average Baptist, you know. They dot their I's and cross their T's. One of the biggest blessings I have got this past week, I finally heard a brother preach on prayer. It was a powerful message on prayer. I was certainly blessed. Because, man, I tell you, there's something like we can do this. We know everything, And man, that brother and this guy, he's an awesome preacher, brother, I tell you. Amazing preacher. Go to James chapter 4 with me, please. What a message. James 4. We'll just read a couple, four verses here. We'll say a few things here. James 4, verses 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. You see all the buildings that are getting destroyed? Boom, man, they're just wiping them out. You know how long it took to build all that? And it takes nothing to destroy it all. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Now here it is, verse 4. This is talking to the Christian. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It's an interesting way of talking about this issue, because what James is telling me here is, if you're a lustful person, you're an adulterer, and you cannot be God's friend if that's your attitude. God is not like that, and God ain't going to hang out with somebody that is not satisfied with the blessings in life. Compares it to being a friend of the world. That's how the world is. That's why Israel is killing each other. The Israelis are killing. And what? The world is at war all over the place. They don't seek God for an answer. Therefore, since God is not sufficient, they want somebody else's property. It's a mess out there. Go to Exodus quickly, please, and I got to finish because I don't want the food to get cold. In Exodus chapter 20, what you've got is a list of the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. All right? There's a list of the Ten Commandments, but go right down to verse 17. What chapter did I say?
20.
Okay, thank you. I forgot. Anyways, verse 17 says, thou should not covet thy neighbor's house, thou should not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, covetousness is the reason why all the other commandments before it, it all falls under that one problem. Covetousness. And it ends up, don't treat, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, his wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, or I. The first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all thy strength. And the second one is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you are a person that lives in total covetousness all the time, how can you keep any of the other commandments? It's the foundation whereby the whole building collapses. In contrast, in the Spirit of God, the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's the contrast. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if we take the attitude of Solomon, God is going to give you the kind of wisdom. In fact, the people came from all over the world to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. But he wasn't looking for riches. He wasn't looking for this, that, and the other. He wasn't looking for a car with 350 horsepower like I am. And I've got a grandson, bro. He's going to pick me up in 2 weeks. Because he's got a charger with 350 horsepower. Hello. And I told him, I'm going to buy you the food, and I'm going to burn the tires off your car. See how the Lord provides.
Yeah. Even trade.
Your cousin, Jaden, has got this charger. Right? It's really nice.
Yeah.
So,
I don't have a car.
Huh?
I don't have a car.
Well, you'll get one. I'll let you drive it. I'll talk to your mom about it.
Make plans now.
Yeah, right. But it's just such a beautiful thing to see what gets God excited. It's a beautiful thing to see what gets God to talk to answer our petitions, you know. Mm-hmm. And we prayed for that wedding. My grandson Matthew said it was the nicest wedding I've ever been to, and it really had an element about it. It was so incredible. But I'm telling you, folks, people prayed, and it was awesome. You know why? Because somehow, when there's a co-labor here with God, everybody gets the benefit. Whatever glorifies God, folks, will bring peace and love to your heart. And I mean, just. That's why we got to pray for this reverb thing. It'll be a glorious experience. Mm-hmm. It'll not just be an event. You know what I mean? You can have an event, but is God in the event?
That's it.
Is the presence of God there? Can you feel the presence of God? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt stuck with a situation? Go to Proverbs 11. There are a lot of things that are crooked in life. And God has different methods by which we can help straighten ourselves out or help straighten somebody else out. In Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11.
Amen.
Man, Steve, I don't know how you do that. I'm going to have to tie your hands. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Mm-hmm. Are you stuck? You read through your Bible, and you still haven't gotten an answer. You're in a crisis, emotional, or what have you. Well, talk to somebody that knows a little bit about not just the Word of God, but somebody that has experience with the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying? Go to chapter 24 as well here, Proverbs 24.
Amen.
Proverbs 24, look at verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Do you know, in our church, I think we have a pretty balanced a group of different ages. Different ages, right? Mm-hmm. And but do you know that somebody mentioned wrongfully that they wanted a with more young people because they want to get they want to have more people. Do you know what? Who would be better suited to counsel you? A novice in the scriptures or someone that has been around for a while and has learned a thing or two according to the scriptures? There's a lot of gray hairs around here. And you young people ought to take advantage of it. I thank God for young people, but having a bunch of young people is not a criteria. But maybe it's the other way around. The Bible talks about the glory of the gray hair. Amen?
That's right.
Mine doesn't get gray because it falls out before it does. And I think we got some young people here as well. But if you're stuck, you spend time with God, you couldn't get an answer, and there's something not quite straight the way it should be, then there are people that have been around, that have put the Lord to the test, and they have found God to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And God has brought you through the other side. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that you want to talk to. People that are exercised in the Word of God. Amen. And you'll have good success. You do this stuff with the Lord, you'll get out the other end looking pretty good. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Mark those. Amen. You know, you can have a conversation with my wife. She would tell you that I need to be straightened out on a daily basis. Amen. But I thank God that He's straightening me out in a lot of different ways. That whole adage that I'm not what God wants me to be, but I'm not what I used to be, that's real. We're running a race with patience. Amen. So God has a way of straightening out the things that we can't, because His Word is powerful. The Word that created the universe is the same Word that can straighten out your life. Straighten out your thoughts, straighten out your feelings, straighten out your purpose. We've got the greatest cause in the history of creation, the cause of Christ. Amen. We'll close with John chapter 13. We'll close here. John chapter 13. And we'll read verses 14 through 17 and we'll be done. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If you do them. And just as Solomon saw himself under the mighty hand of God with a tremendous commission greater than himself, he humbled himself. And the reason why he got God's favor is because Jesus Christ teaches us me here that Jesus is humble enough to wash my feet. And he's never stopped to this day. The Lord is washing our feet. God is looking for people that will identify with him. Primarily his humility. And most importantly, if we can realize how needful we are of him, that in and of itself will humble you to where God can use you in a way that is unusual. No one could argue that Solomon was not greatly used of God. And he's no respecter of persons. Solomon is not better than any one of us here. He was flesh, he was blood, and he was bones. But he had God on his side. Would you ask the Lord to straighten out the crooked areas of your life? Would you humble yourself and ask God to help straighten out the things that you can't, the things that God can? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.